I think there is no such thing as religiously neutral education. And so I will speak out on behalf of the position that I just spoke against as far as the Muslims talking about reinserting religion into the curriculum. I agree that there is no such thing as religious neutrality. If you say that religion is not a matter of knowledge and is insignificant, then you already have a religious perspective. It just happens to think that humanistic values trump all others and that there's nothing truthful or meaningful or important in a religious perspective. And we've
none
eradicated
of which I've said, of course, right?
No, of course, right. So I'm not saying it's an opposing... So I think that what really needs to happen is that the public monopoly on education needs to stop. We need to have a voucher system which will allow parents to choose the education that they think is best for their child, because parents ultimately have the authority and the control and the responsibility of bringing up their children. And every religion worldwide will hold to this. But in Canada, the rights of the parents are increasingly being undermined in the name of the public good. Well, who's the
well,
public?
Well, then what you're basically saying is you should be encouraged by this development that the Muslim parents, I'm taking it because the students are too young to take it upon themselves, they're probably asserting themselves in that regard.
No, they're asserting the dominance of Islam over other cultures implicitly. That's the issue. I think that there should be vouchers given to every Canadian parent, and they should be allowed to put their child in whatever school that they see fit.
The problem
we'll
right now
which
is,
one,
I see it is
we'll see which one wins out, and quite frankly, I think Christianity wins hands down. And there's
well,
been
maybe not in certain, maybe experiment. Not in certain neighborhoods, though. In certain precincts, like the one I cited here with the school, where they've got an inordinate number, disproportionate number of Muslim students versus the others, Overlea, which is again Thorncliffe Park, Flemington Park.
Yeah.
It's the voucher system would say, we want Muslim instruction.
It would most certainly do that initially. What has proved to be the case in most countries of the world where Christianity has operated even under the auspices of a dominance of another religion is that the best schools are almost invariably Christian. And the elite will send their children to those schools because they get the best education. Now, I'm happy for this to
That's
be the case
That's typically because minority religions constitute some of the more poor demographics, because they're often immigrants and folks that
No, the minority religion would be the Christian religion, say in India or in Pakistan or any country you choose to name. There are Christian schools that will operate in these countries, and these are invariably the best schools. And why is that? Why is that?
Why is that indeed? I'm curious. Answer your own rhetorical question. Why do you suppose that is?
Because I think that something that is that Christianity believes in truth, it has a consistent worldview, it has a belief in the applicability of the law to all people irrespective of their station. It includes all people under
if
the...
If we could just maybe bring it back to the topic at hand here, I think we should comment on the specifics of the education system.
Well, we are commenting
in Ontario,
on the specifics. We're just...
And the problem, as I see it, is that there is total chaos in terms of decision-making. We have one religious organization, Catholics, who have a publicly funded system, therefore... When Muslim groups
well, talk
are
about off-topic.
Oh, well, all right, let me rein it in. Then I'll bring it all home.
It's a pretext, which then Muslims and other minority groups who don't have that special law that governs their school system can then ask for exceptions to be made, and that's what leads us to the situation.
This is what's happened. An exception has been made in the case of the Valley Park Middle School, and it might just be the tip of the iceberg. Scott Masson's point that somehow the voucher system would alleviate this. Bind we find ourselves in, you believe it would be used then to support the Christian schools, Muslim...
Among others.
Well, Muslim parents may beg to differ and just think the best school is the one that allows for an imam to go in there unfettered and preach to their kids. So do we want to see this lead to a voucher system? Is that really the end result or the end game of all of this? We're now on that slope. Let's find out how the folks feel about it. Or would you just deter this, nip it in the bud right here and now, and it shouldn't continue as a practice into year three or four, I believe, in November. They're slated to go again with the imam visiting the students. With Scott Masson and Justin Trottier, our culture warriors, we're taking your calls, 870-6400, star 640 on cell. 922. All right, we're back into it. The culture warriors have sunk their teeth into a juicy one this morning. It's about... perhaps Muslim exceptionalism when it comes to the school system. Scott Masson, who is the associate pastor at the Westminster Chapel here in Toronto, believes that's what's at play here. And it's an agenda driven by perhaps the left, if I'm not mischaracterizing your position here.
The left has insinuated itself with Islam and vice versa.
I see. All right. And Justin Trottier, National Exec Director at the Center for Inquiry Canada, believes religion ought not to insert itself in any way, shape, or form into the public square. let alone the school system. Is this what really the end game is, maybe leading to tax-funded religious schooling after all? Let's get back to the lines, and we've got Bill joining us here on the Oakley Show. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, man. Thanks for having me. I have a few comments that I want to make in regards to that. I'm a visible minority. I grew up as a Sikh, and you know, I grew up here in Canada, born and raised in Canada. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't agree with this. I don't think that we should allow this to happen. What we did when we wanted to get cultural, we wanted to know, and we wanted to get better with our community, the things that we would do that was very unique in schools is we would have certain days where you bring in different types of foods, or you'd have plays or projects where there'd be a better understanding of each other. I think to allow one community to have access to a facility and not allow everybody else in that facility, A, is wrong. And I think, you know what, I don't have any feelings or any for people to practice what they want to do, but I don't think it's right in a public school system, for the first thing. Second thing, you know, which really kind of irked me, and this is the reason why I also don't think it's good, is the comment that the, not Justin made, but the other person
Scott,
from my church is with you, is the comment that, oh, Christian schools are better and stuff. It's that mentality of thing that where if you do something like this, it's going to divide cultures apart versus putting them together. When you start making public comments about one religion being better because that school's funded better than that. Now, and the reality is, he said that there was a school in India where they're better.
All right, so that's the point. It's polarizing or divisive. Scott, you're shaking your head.
Well, the caller is free to disagree with me, and so we'll be divided in our opinions on the matter. He has the freedom to disagree with me on that.
I would like, if I may, to pick up on his comment I think he was about to make about this so-called better quality of education in Christian school systems. You mentioned it, Scott, earlier in terms of these Christian schools in India, Pakistan, etc., and it's been made about the Catholic schools in Ontario. I think there's a little bit of a misconception here. Those schools have very often discriminatory rights in terms of who they allow in as teachers and pupils. And it's that,
that
ability to say yay or nay to a potential pupil that would allow them to bias the actual class in favor of students that are perhaps harder working, perhaps have shown more interest in their actual education.
All right, so that's your argument,
with
just
respect
keeping
to their,
religion,
their previous test scores.
Keep it away.
Yeah, that would
so
actually create
the impression.
So the problem
with religion is that people with money and influence will want to send their children there and they'll put their money behind it. That's
no,
the problem.
I think you've totally misunderstood what I'm saying.
Well,
the problem is that
the
way in which these schools are set up gives the ability, which is not granted to public secular schools, to discriminate in terms of which students they allow in so that they can therefore create classes filled with only the best students,
right,
leaving
well,
the public schools to take in
well,
the rest of those students.
What's to stop a secular school from doing exactly
they can't do
the
that.
Same
Legally,
thing
they can't. Only Catholic schools in
no,
Ontario
no, no,
can.
No, I'm not talking about a public school. I'm talking about a secular school. Why don't secularists, anti-
Because we're not interested in setting up an exclusive school system. We're only interested in setting up a strong, neutral school board where everybody can come together.
All right, the term neutrality, I think, Scott, you would scowl at that in the past.
I already have.
All right, well, all right. Your idea that somehow they're not neutral.
Of course they're not.
Do you believe the Toronto District School Board, for example, has betrayed a bias or a certain activism or agenda?
It's open and it's patent. Last week we talked about the new curriculum for teaching the goodness of homosexual activity from kindergarten onwards. We have an Islam Awareness Month. We don't have a Sikh Awareness Month, despite the earlier presence of Sikhs in this country. I mean, there are accommodations made to the powerful groups that are in government and in positions of...
If our duly elected officials have decided that it's in the best interest of all of society that we be tolerant of differences, then you're saying that that should not be part of the publicly funded school system?
Christians have always been publicly tolerant of differences.
Oh,
there's
really?
Always, yes, of course, there's been freedom of conscience allowed for
and
other
And what's the
religion?
Problem with teaching gay rights and gay issues in public schools if Christians are so
because
tolerant?
Because it has nothing to do with education, Justin, quite mm-hmm. frankly.
Teaching and about the different identities of people in our society has nothing to do with education,
well,
say,
we're
the social or cultural
here,
studies? Well, you introduced the topic, so I'm just sort of asking you
well,
to
what do, I would
reflect
question what
a bit
an
on
identity
your
actually is. When you talk about a gay identity, I just find that the terms
all right.
to be...
So we're tolerant only in terms of your narrow definition of what it is to be a man or woman or any other gender identity.
I want to come back here and extend the segment. A lot of calls in this. I want to take it back to the focus and drill down on whether or not this school system, which accommodates in this one particular school, Muslim students with an imam coming in, on Friday to conduct services in the cafeteria is a thin edge of a very dangerous wedge, or perhaps the end game is tax-funded religious schooling, which you may support. We'll come back with Scott Masson and Justin Trottier in your positions in a moment on The Oakley Show, Talk Radio, AM 640.
It's your call, Toronto. 416-870-6400 or star 640 on cell. The John Oakley Show on AM 640.
Let's get back into it with the Culture Warriors. Every Tuesday after 9 o'clock, we embark on, well, the things that define our culture and shape how we come to govern our lives, and one of those issues has to do with a school in East York that's allowing for an imam to come in on Fridays at lunch in the cafeteria for about 400 students to conduct religious service. Now, it's not part of the curriculum per se, but it is on school property, and some have raised the flag. Primarily a Hindu group, actually, which is kind of surprising. After a couple, 3 years of this actually being put in practice from November to March, it's now only now coming to our attention. Some are saying it's another indication of the stealth Islamicization of our culture, yet others support it and say, well, reinserting religion into the public space, or in this case, a public school, taxpayer-funded, is not a bad development. We need more of that. Christians and Jews and Hindus should all embrace that, and the Muslims are fighting their fight as well. In fact, it might lead to a voucher system that Scott Masson, one of our participants this morning, has suggested, where, you know, the money goes where the student goes and the parents' prerogative to choose. Scott Masson, the associate pastor at the Westminster Chapel here in Toronto. Justin Trottier is the National Executive Director at the Center for Inquiry Canada. And we got calls, so Richard and Vaughn, you've been waiting. Appreciate it. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's been touched on, but you're still dancing around the elephant in the corner, and that is that we have a fully funded publicly funded Catholic school system. So how do you reconcile that with other religious communities? So, you know, the decision here is, do we either have a purely secular system or do we fund other religious education programs? And in that, you can't pick and choose any longer. Just have funding for Catholics and nobody else. It's not right. Sort of the John Tory conundrum, I guess, in a way, but you know,
all right, well, let's pick up on that point because it does speak to where this may lead as the end game. Justin, you were saying?
Yeah, I think it's the caller has a fair point, and I think he's flipping this in the appropriate way. We've been,
wow.
if I may, sure, explore this, John, what you were suggesting was that, you know, there was no religion in the school system, and now these Muslim advocates were suggesting, hey, we're the ones who are leading the charge to bring religion back in. What our caller is pointing out, and I obviously agree with him on this, is that in fact there is a Christian dominance in the school system in the form of publicly funded Catholic schools, in the form, in other provinces at least, of high rates of subsidization of private religious schools, including evangelical and other Protestant denomination school-based school systems. And that's being used as a pretext by these Muslim advocates to say, why don't we have any kind of accommodations? You said no to giving us Muslim and Hindu, etc., schools in the last provincial election. Perhaps this is as much as we can push, but it's a starting point for us to push.
What's the form of the Christian accommodation? Just so I mean, apart from the Catholic schools, because we say this is, the Catholic schools have their own separate board, right?
Right.
And you're
that's
saying,
correct.
All right, that's just constitutionally mandated.
Well,
are you talking about
constitutions change in other provinces
have
changed them?
Okay, you're saying
that's exactly what I'm saying.
This is calling for just reopening the Constitution and.
No, it wouldn't have to be reopened. In the case of Quebec, there was a simple bilateral agreement between the province and the federal government, education being a provincial mandate. Quebec government just asked for an amendment to Section 92 saying this won't apply to Quebec anymore. It was done within a few months. Ontario could do it essentially by the end of the year without having to have 10 provinces debate constitutional amendments. That's definitely not necessary.
Nor would it ever work, yeah.
That's correct.
The issue for me here is that, sure, the Catholics have effectively the equivalent of a mandated voucher system. So if you're Catholic, you can send to a Catholic system. That is already a voucher.
It's more than
Catholics.
A voucher system, Scott, because, in fact, the amount of money coming from Catholic ratepayers is not nearly enough to fund the system. The system also brings in money from a general coffer, which is coming from all taxpayers. So it's not equivalent to a voucher system at all.
And non-Catholic schools attend Catholics, or non-Catholics attend Catholic schools.
Yes, they do, because they often are better. But then
they are better, as I said, because they have this discriminatory right not afforded to the secular schools to pick and choose.
All right, so you're in favor of a voucher system as well, then?
No, actually. I think that there should be one strong public secular system. I think that segregation is not something to be encouraged. I'm not against privately funded schools,
but
I don't want
taxpayers conservatives. Muslims tend to be social conservatives. They might not want to subscribe to the secular system that you're espousing. And so they would want a voucher system. They might just actually decry whatever it is your secular system is, and Scott Masson's been critical of it, saying it does, in fact, have its own type of religiosity, which is secular humanism.
Well, yes, I do think vouchers are more going to segregate than do any kind of positive good, but I think at least that would be a fairer system. It would definitely
treat everybody more equally than
this
always ends up being a political discussion. The real issue is education, what education's all about, which never enters into a debate with people who are anti-Christian or anti-religious. They're always interested in the representation. Okay. What we have in the TDSB, which is what we're talking about specifically here, is we have a curriculum that has been promoted by liberal guilt and driven by the fury of secularism. The reality of most people is that they are, which is precisely why they have operated and eradicated Christianity from the system. They have a feeling of guilt about their own heritage, so we're going to eradicate all of that. We're going to have an Islam Awareness Month as a policy of accommodation. We're going to allow Muslims into the system and have a prayer service here. But this guilt, which is driving the liberals and allowing this, and the two are working hand in glove, has led to a situation in Canada, and this was one of our other topics, we didn't get to it, where we have a rock, paper, scissors situation where Islam trumps gay rights, which trumps feminism, and vice versa, and they flip around. But ultimately,
it's quite a psychological assessment.
It is a psychological assessment, because you have to ask...
You've hit on some valid points. I agree that there is
a
competition.
But I don't want to stray off the map. I mean, let me get back to the callers. Paul McKeever, you're with the Freedom Party here in Ontario. You've joined the Oakley Show before. I mean, what's your thought on this development here?
Well, I'll tell you, John, this is not only talk radio red meat, it's also a looming provincial election issue, and it should be one. You'll remember former PC leader John Tory wanted to extend taxpayer funding to private religious schools, and he lost the election as a result. But as recently as 2009, the current Progressive Conservative leader, Tim Hudak, is on the record as saying he wants religious choice, quote, within our public school system, unquote. And you'll remember that the Ontario law already allows alternative schools to be set up, like the Afrocentric School in Toronto. That's the back door that they're quietly going to use. They're going to set up, just like your one guest would like to have, a multitude of different religious schools, all part of the existing public school system. Instead of doing what Tory did, they'll just say, okay, we'll turn our existing public schools into alternative religious schools. This is the front line, John, on religion in our schools. It's got to be fought. McGuinty and Hudak have to be forced to say their opinions on that.
I sense a liberal on the line. Yeah,
He's a libertarian, by all accounts, Paul McKeever with the Freedom Party.
I see.
Would you say, okay, but go ahead, Scott. You wanted to say to Paul McKeever?
Well, I think that it is probably an election issue. I wasn't aware of the specifics of Mr. Hudak's platform here, and it probably will be an issue. And it's simply an issue of, one, the way the public system is going, where people of Christian faith, I'll speak on behalf of that, are feeling that they no longer can send their children in good conscience to the public system, so there's going to be incentive to break from it. And on the other hand, the fact of the immigration, which has brought religious diversity, and again, there is a religious perspective on all of life, and people are quite frankly not going to tolerate the state knows best and this vanilla eradication of everything good and meaningful and true in religious perspectives, well, which Justin thinks is good for everyone.
I don't think that's necessarily the case, though, Scott. The issue here is just keep government separate from religion.
And agreed.
For those parents who want to send their children to religious schools, that's fine.
Yes.
They shouldn't have to be paying taxes to a public school at the same time.
I agree.
But vouchers are not the answer, because then people who don't want to be supporting religious schools end up being forced to do so anyway, even if they have no children.
No. If you're a parent... I see. You're saying that even those who don't have children are having to pay for education.
Correct.
Well, quite frankly, I think that is not wrong. I know you're not going to agree with me on that. I think that the reason that is the case is that no country can survive without the existence of children. That's the next generation. That is how legacy and heritage is passed on. And everybody is the beneficiary of the educational
That's
system.
That's why it's so important, Scott, that there be a common, strong school system, because it's in everybody's best interest. I'm glad that you mentioned that. It's not just in the interest of the parents of specific children. It's in the interest of all of society.
The public
school
system
in Canada
was started by Christians,
that all children be educated in a strong school system.
Across denominations. It was started by Christians across denominations. It provided good education, non-sectarian. It was open to other groups. People flocked to Canada precisely because we have freedom and liberty and goodness and truth, and they want to live here. And it's because
and
of
access
that.
To strong infrastructure.
They come here because they want to be atheists or have no religious perspective. That's not why they come here, Justin.
All right. Well,
I haven't seen those polls, Scott.
That's the argument rooted in our cultural heritage, as Scott Masson says. The education system should not be divided along religious lines here, where everybody sends everybody to their own religious schools. Scott Masson is the associate pastor at the Westminster Chapel here in Toronto. Justin Trache, national executive director of the Center for Inquiry Canada. We'll see where this one goes and if, in fact, it does become again an issue in the upcoming provincial election in October. Guys, appreciate it as always. Very insightful discussion. We'll continue on with the Oakley Show, other matters that have made their way onto the agenda this morning. In just moments, 9:44, we're going back out to the roads, updating AM 640 chopper traffic. Kevin Stanfield.